Begin the current daf, Masech the Shabbos daf, Dal, begin in Amet Alf. Begin the Tais Divrei Maaskal, Tais begins the words of the Gemara, Kan L'chatzah Acheres. Here we're talking about where it's to a different courtyard. Tais comes to qualify, what does the word L'chazira means to say? It means that the Gemara answered another approach to explain the contradiction of the Braises. The Braises that says you're allowed to bring your hand back that you stretched out full of produce into the Rishas Rabbim, that's when you bring it back to the chatzah that you're standing in. The Braises says, you don't take your hand back. It means when you take your hand back to a different chatzah. So Tais is bothered by, then what does the words of the Braises mean, l'hachzira? It's not taking it back. It's taking it to a different chatzah. So Tais explains, v'asa l'hachzira diktani. This that the Braises says, you're not allowed to bring it back. Loi l'hachzira es l'kama. And that's what the Gemara is saying. It doesn't mean that what we're not letting you do is to not let you take it back to where you are. El l'hachzira l'chatzah acheres rather means to say to take it back to a different courtyard. So the word l'hachzira means to say, not to leave it in Rishas Rabbim, but rather to bring it back to a similar type of a domain, which he initially was in, which is a chatzar, but it's not to this chatzar itself, it's to a different chatzar. That's what the Gemara is saying, that that's the case of the Braisa that would be forbidden. Here in the next Taisa, the Rimaskal, Taisa begins the words of the Gemara, Umay Shna, and what's the difference? Taisa comes to explain what's the formation, the structure of the chatzars that we're discussing. That is because the Gemara asked, why is it that the chatzar that he's standing in, as we just heard in the previous tesis, the Gemara is saying that you're allowed to take your hand back into, but into a different chatzar that's going to be forbidden. What's the difference? Either way, you're taking your hand from where it's stretched out in Rosh Hashanah to a chatzar. So tesis qualifies and explains that the reason why the Gemara is having this question is because the courtyards are bezu keneged zu iri. We're talking about where one is opposite the other on either side of the Rosh Hashanah. That's the case. That what's the difference when you're taking your hand back to the chatzah you're in or to the other chatzah on the other side of the Rosh Hashanah? Because Taisa explains, because if they would both be on the same side of the street, then shana v'shana, then actually it would be a difference if you're taking back to the chatzah that you're from or to the other chatzah. Because the ikka is serchiv chatzah, because in that situation, if you would take it to the other chatzah, the Gemara wouldn't have a question. Of course there would be a difference, because that would be a liability of a chiyuv chatzas, because the meishid mishas ha-yachal mishas ram, what you would be doing, which is, if it's important, if it's on the same side of the street, as a Gemara later on this Masechta explains, you're taking from one mishas ha-yachal to another mishas ha-yachal, from one chatzah to another, derech mishas ram, through the mishas ram. That's a chiyuv chatzas, only if you do it to the other chatzah, not to this chatzah. So obviously if the Gemara was asking, what's the difference? It meant because it's not on the same side of the street, it's actually on the other side, and that wouldn't make a difference because there is no chiv. Or in Inami, another interpretation Taisa brings is no, even b'diyuta achas, we're talking about where it is on the same side of the street. But there is no rishas rabim between these two courtyards. Rather, there's, let's say, a karmelis. So therefore, when you're passing from one chatzar to the other chatzar without a rishas rabim in the middle, there it most definitely would be putter, and therefore that was the Gemara's question of Maishna. So Taisa in the first interpretation explained that the courtyards are talking about one is opposite the other side of the street, where had they been both on the same side, but meaning one in front of the other, not one opposite the other, but one in front of the other, where there was Rosh Hashanah in between, then for sure there would be a difference. What would be the Gemara's question in between the chatzah that you're in or to the other chatzah? Because going from one chatzah and now when you stretch your hand over the street and now you're going to go in into the other chatzah, that's actually a chiv of chatzah. So the Gemara would not have asked, Maishna, there would have been an obvious difference. Another interpretation Taisa brings is that, no, you could even say that it's talking about that they're both one in front of the other on the same side, and still the Gemara was assuming both would be putter, whether to the original chatzar or to the other chatzar, because it's talking about that there is no Rosh Hashanah between these two chatzars, rather there's like what's called a karmelis, and therefore it would seemingly be the same thing as a chatzar, and therefore that was the Gemara's question of Maishno, what should be the difference if you take it back to the original chatzar or to the other chatzar. Continue next Taisa Devi Maaskal, Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara, Ve'ela, the Ahadar Ve'itkar. Rather, we're talking about where he subsequently remembered. So on that, as the Gemara, Mimachayiv, is he going to be liable? Which Taisa asks, why didn't the Gemara answer that the intent is before he comes to the Isser of Chatzis? In other words, the Gemara had asked, what is the situation that Rav Bibi Bar Abaye has his doubt? He wanted to know, do we permit a person to take the bread out of the oven before it gets baked and before it comes to a Chiv of Chatzis? Where, if it's talking about, as our Taisa Divrei Maaskal is going on, as the Gemara is asking, where he remembers before it baked, and he's like, oi, I forgot, because that's the Shaggy, he's Michayev Chatas, and now we want to know if he could go ahead and take his bread down, but what do you mean? That's the Gemara's question. Even if it's going to bake, he's not going to be Michayev Chatas, because he's not going to be a Shaggy anymore. So now that's Tesis Tamer, it's a wonder, but the Lishani, let the Gemara answer, yeah, yes, we're talking about what he remembered before the bread baked. And still, Amy, you could say that the intent is before, when it says before comes Shechiv of Chatas, not like the Gemara changed it, we're talking about Skila, is talking about before it comes Lidei Isser Chatas, not the liability, right? Liability, if you remember and it becomes like a mason, you don't have the liability of the Chatas anymore, but we're talking about the prohibition of a Chatas. Because the Kama B'Samach has actually, we find the Gemara says later on, nearby, Kaid Mishayav Lidei Isser Skila, before it comes to the Isser of Skila, not the liability of Skila, but the category of prohibition. So why did the Gemara have to answer and say, oh, you're right, we're not talking about that there's a chiv of chatas, we're talking about that would be issur skila, but the Gemara could have retained its original supposition that we're talking about a chatas, and the intention is not for the chiv of the chatas, but for the issur chatas, and Taisa doesn't answer the question. Continue the next Taisa, the Rimaskal, Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara. Do we tell a person that you should sin b'shvil sheyizka chavercha, that your friend should go ahead and merit and not have a big sin? Which Taisa comes to explain in the halacha, when is it permitted for a person to violate a smaller avera to save his friend from a larger avera, and when do we not say that? And that is the Gemara had brought that so the Gemara was explaining, so what is the doubt of Rabibi? The question was regarding, do we permit other people to take down his bread? Because you're right, this person didn't remember, because if he did, then he wouldn't be liable anyway. So when a person made a mistake, he didn't realize he put the bread into the oven. Now someone else realized that he's going to be chayev, a chiev of chatas, of a deraisa. So could someone else go ahead and take it down, violate just a small rabbinic iser of dias hapas, so that the one who had put it in shouldn't be liable for iser deraisa of chatas? On that, the Gemara asks, which our Taisa de Maskel is quoting from, what do you mean? You don't tell a person to do a small sin to save his friend from doing a big sin. That's the Gemara's assumption. On that, as Taisa is, but v'hadam b'chol ma'arvin, but this that we have in Perek b'chol ma'arvin, in Ervin Davla Medezim Abeis, where the Gemara is discussing a braisa. Someone tells his friend, okay, go fill up this basket with figs from my fig trees. And the balabais knows that he's going to go ahead and pick. So the one who's taking the figs is allowed to eat temporary type, like snacking, without even taking meiser. But unless he's coming to eat a meal, so then he has to go ahead and take off meiser out of doubt, because maybe the balabais took off meiser for him from someone else, from somewhere else. Maybe he didn't. So out of doubt, the one who's going to go now take the figs from that person has to take off meiser out of doubt. Now, on that, Rebbe says over there in Mesechtas Ervin that this all talking about with the balabais, the homeowner, the owner of the fig tree, is not ma'aretz. But if, let's say, he was a chaver, a person that's trustworthy in the laws of ma'isrus, and he told the not ma'aretz that you could take figs from my fig tree, and additionally, another chaver, trusted person, he heard when he told the not ma'aretz to go take figs from the tree. And actually, this chaver also had permission to go ahead and take figs from the fig tree. So that chaver is allowed to take even to eat a meal without taking meiser. Why? Because he could rely that most definitely the owner, the chaver, took off trumas and meisers from somewhere else for those produce. And why do we know for sure he did that? Because he wouldn't want the Am Haaretz, who's going to go take off without taking off meisers, to eat tevel. So although actually it's forbidden for the balabais to go take the meisers, not nearby from those fig trees, because we see he didn't take from here, but we're saying we're presuming that he took from somewhere else. Initially, that is forbidden. When you go ahead and do that, shleiman amukav. But here in this situation, we're going to presume that most definitely that he did do it from somewhere else. And that is because Rebbe Savar, Rebbe holds, nichele l'chav delavad isur kalila, it's better for the chavar, for the trusted person, the owner of the fig tree, to do a small, lighter type of isur, which is taking off maisus, what's called shleiman amukav, not from the actual, near the fruits that you're separating from, that they shouldn't be tevel. And that this ignoramus who's taking from his fruits should not violate a big isser, that of tevel. So you see that we do allow one person to do a small isser to save someone else from a big isser. That's not like what we're saying here in our Gemara. Says Taisus Hasam over there is kadesh lo yechel amaaretz tevel al yodoy. There it's different. Why? Because he's the cause of the amaaretz eating from his fruits. So he's setting him up, and the amaaretz doesn't know any better. He's going to eat it when it was not tithed. Because normally he told him, "Mali loch kalkala shaltein b'tein say, go fill up that basket full of figs from my fig tree." So because of him, he's going to be able to issur. So then we say that, yes, to save him, because he set him up, he's allowed to go ahead and take off the meiser shlem in the mukav, to do a small issur to save the one that he caused from doing a big issur. But over here in our Gemara, shloi nasa issur al yodoi, the one who put the bread in the oven, his issur is not going to be because of this innocent bystander. No, then we don't tell him to sin. Even a small iser, that his friend shouldn't come to a big iser. We do not say that, and that's not contradicted from the Gemara in Erevin, because he set him up. Then we do tell him to go ahead and do a small iser to save the one that he set up from doing a big iser. Now, moreover, he says that actually, even for the one that put the bread up himself, ain lifshit misham lahatur. You cannot go ahead and resolve even that question from the Gemara in Erevin over there to permit it for the person himself. In other words, because seemingly one would learn from that Gemara in Erevin that if we said that if the chaver caused someone else to do an iser, we permit him to do a small iser so that the Am Aretz, who he just causing to be violating the big iser, we allow him to go ahead and do the small iser to save him. So for sure, the person himself, where it's not just someone that he's causing, but he himself, that he's going to have a big iser, that we should permit him to do a small iser to save himself from a big iser. And that's his taste, says no. Says the Rebbe, we cannot learn from over there that that would be permitted. Why? Because the hasam adayin lo nasa iser. There it's different. Because there the prohibition wasn't done yet. Because there's nothing wrong with the Am Aretz of picking the figs. As long as he didn't eat, there was no iser done. So that's what the Gemara says over there in the Erevin. The mutav sheyase isakal, better that the homeowner does a small iser of taking maisers not from the immediate area. The leyase isakama al yadin, that it shouldn't cause a larger, more severe iser to be done through him. Avalhachab over here in the case we're describing, hamaisa shal iser kvar nasa, the guy himself that put the bread into the oven that wasn't baked yet, the actual, what's called the action of what's prohibited, which is putting the bread into the oven, that was already done. And the actual biblical violation didn't happen yet, but that's going to happen by itself. There, loyasa fila iser kalbidam. There, we don't let you do even a small iser actively by hand to save yourself in the bigger iser because the action was already done. It's only if the action wasn't done yet, then we allow you to stop it. But if it was already done, it just the effect didn't happen yet, then we don't let you go do that. That you couldn't resolve that the Gemara within Erevin. Now, Tosis is bothered by another question. This that we learn in Parakah Shalech and Gittin Daf Mem Aleph on the base. If you have someone that has a slave, that's half slave and half free person. For example, let's say he was owned by two partners and one of the partner freed his half. So the halacha is brought over there. The kaifin is rabbi, so we force his master that owns the other half of him, and we force him to free the other half. What's the reason? So the Gemara there explains because this half slave, half free person cannot get married because he can't marry a maidservant because half of him is free, which is not allowed to marry a maidservant. And the half of him that's free can't marry the maidservant. The half of him that's a slave cannot marry a regular Jewish woman. So because of that, to allow him to get married, we force the master to free his half that's still the oven. Now, on that, as Tais of Avagav, the Baha'i Perik, even though over there in that Perik, over there on Daflam Chesma base, Amr Bihuda, he brings down, Kol HaMashachar, Avda, whoever frees his slave, Oiv Ba'aseh, he violates a positive commandment that it says in the Torah, Delo Oilem Bem Tavoidu, should always have them enslaved. So still we see that we permit his master to violate a positive commandment of Lo Oilem Bem Tavoidu, so that the slave could fulfill the mitzvah per b'rivya. So you see, we do have someone violating an Isser to have someone else be Zaycha. So it's Taisin Hashani per b'rivya, being fruitful and multiplying, having children is different. The mitzvah rabbi, that's a great mitzvah, and because of that, we do allow a person to violate a small iser of freeing his slave, so that this slave, could have a big mitzvah of prayer v'rivya. Because Mishani Hossam, like the Gemara actually says over there, Rebbe Lazar, Shenichnas lebeis ha-knesses, lebeis ha-medrash. Lazar went into the beis ha-medrash, and he didn't find a minion of 10 people. So b'shirches avdi l'shlim liyud. So they already had 9 people. He then freed his slave to be the 10th man for the minyan. So on that is because the Gemara says mitzvah the rabbim shani, a mitzvah that applies to the rabbim like davening tefillah b'tzibur. But that's different. So we see sometimes that when it's a very great mitzvah that we do allow a violation of an issur. That would be the same thing over here by the slave of per v'rivya. We allow the master to free that half. Again, so although in generally we don't say that a person should do a small sin for someone else having a big, to be saved from a big iser, but when there's something that's extenuating like a mitzvah the rabbim or such a big mitzvah like per b'riba, then we would say that. Or the Oydish Lema, another interpretation Taisa says, is actually the davka heichad the pasham, that specifically only when the original person was negligent, like in our Gemara, the one that put the bread in the oven, he was negligent, you're not supposed to put it in on Shabbos. That's where coming, that's what we say in our Gemara, do we tell a person that he should sin so that his friend should merit? That's where we say that. But by that slave, who it's not his negligence that he's half free and half a slave, there we would say that the master should be a small sinner to free him so that his friend could merit and that he could go ahead and get married and have children. Moreover, based on this, says Taisa, Asi Shap, and now it makes sense. Hadam Rinam Barish Tam and Nishchem. The Gemara says in Pesachim, Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, regarding what's called a Mechusa Kippurim. Mechusa Kippurim, like Azav, he's lacking atonement. Besides that he waited his 7 days and he immersed himself in the mikvah, on day 8, he has to go ahead and bring a carbon, which then permits him to partake of kachim, which is important in the case of, let's say, eating the carbon Pesach. And that's why we could even go ahead and sacrifice his carbon after the carbon Tamid Shal Bein Abayim. So although it says in the Torah, V'hiktor Lechal V'Shlamim, which tells us that the last carbon of the day has to be the Tamid Shal Bein Abayim, still the halacha is the Asi Aseid the Pesach, Sheyesh Bekaras. The positive commandment of this Zav, of fulfilling the carbon Pesach, which if he doesn't bring it, there's a violation of Karas, comes along V'dachi Aseid HaShlama, and it overrides just a regular positive commandment of that the last carbon of the day has to be Tamid Shal Bein Abayim. But Taisus is bothered, but v'ka'avri kahanim ba'aseid hashlama. But that would be good if it's for the same person himself. But here, it's to kahanim. They're the ones who are doing the akrava. They're violating a positive commandment of not having the last carbon of the day being tamid shel bein abayim, u'makrivin l'mechusa kippurim kaparasai. And they're going ahead and bringing the carbon of the zav, let's say, who's lacking atonement for his atonement, kedisha yovet pischoi, that he should bring his carbon Pesach in the evening. Now, isn't that chata b'chle shi'iske chavercha? But that's what Tay is saying, based on what we said before, since the Zav wasn't negligent that he was a Zav, and therefore we say over here that yes, the Kohen could sin so that his friend could merit to have a larger mitzvah, that of the bringing of the Karban Pesach. So to Tay continues, V'chem b'perek basu de'ervin, so to the last perek in the Ervin of Kav Gimel and Beis, Kohen shen tzva yabeles. The Gemara tells us over there, halacha, that if a Kohen has a wart, which he's not allowed to do, it's a blemish, that he cannot do the avodah. So on Shabbos, his friend bites off the wart with his teeth, so now he doesn't have the blemish anymore. Even though that's a rabbinic prohibition, even if you don't do it with a vessel, you do it with your teeth. And shouldn't we say that this Kohen should not sin so that his friend should merit to be able to do the avodah? But that's what we're saying. Since the Kohen who has the wart, it wasn't his own negligence, therefore we permit another Kohen to do a small sin, to bite off with his teeth, to allow this other Kohen to do the avodah. Now, Tosis bothered, but there's halacha brought elsewhere regarding a maidservant that was also half freed and half slave, where now she doesn't have a mitzvah privilege. The woman doesn't have a mitzvah of having children, so you cannot say that would be a permissibility of freeing her. But the case was talking about shenogu b'minik hefker, that there were certain men that were treating her in a promiscuous way. So it was causing much znus, licentiousness. So the halacha was, v'kafas rabba, they forced her master to free her, as is brought by Shaleach, as brought within the Gemara Gittin, of Lamches Amen Peis. Now the problem with that is the master is violating the positive commandment of Loyal Mem Tabaydu, even though the men are negligent because they're going out and they're acting promiscuous with her. Why would that permit us to free the maidservant? So there's no permission from her perspective because she doesn't have to get married. There's no permission from the slaves, from the other people, from the Jewish men's perspective, because they're acting negligent. And that says Taisis no Mishum Shahisa Magzeres Umamtsia Atzmaliznus. Because the case over there was actually Toma, where she was going out and she was grooming the men and she was chasing after them for promiscuity. The men were actually more considered to be coerced. Not negligent, because it wasn't something that they wanted, and therefore we could consider that a situation that we allow the master to sin to merit other people not to have a greater sin. And additionally, Taisa says, V'haminami commits to the Rabbim. Also, on some level, it's like a mitzvah of the Rabbim, which we mentioned before, let's say like freeing the slave so that they could have a minion, where we permit to free the slave from mitzvah of the Rabbim. Here also, when we're saving many men from committing a sin, is also considered a mitzvah of the Rabbim if she's now married and they're not going to be able to be mezana with her. So Taisa explained that over here in our Gemara, where although we have a doubt of Rabibi, do we permit a person to go ahead and violate a small Isser so that the other person should not violate a more severe Isser? However, in a situation where if a person caused his friend to violate a severe Isser, for example, like the Chaver that gives them Aretz to eat from his produce, there it's obvious from the Gemara Avron that you are permitted to violate a small Isser, like taking off Truma, not Minamukav, not right near the original Tevel produce, so that the Am Aretz that was through him should not violate a more severe Isser of eating Tevel. Now, additionally, we cannot learn from over there regarding the person himself that put the bread into the oven, that he should be able to take it off so that he doesn't come to a greater issur, which seems to be the same thing like causing someone else. No, the reason is because over there, by the peiros of tevel, that case, the issur wasn't done yet because that person, the amaretz, didn't eat it yet. Whereas over here, when you put the bread into the oven, the dough into the oven, the issur, the actual action of the issur of maisa afia was done. It's just that the titzah, the outcome, wasn't done yet. That is not necessarily that we would permit him to violate even the small issur to save himself by taking down the bread, what's called radiyas apaz, to save himself from the effects of the liability of the mice of the issur, which he already done before. Additionally, Taisus wrote that also when there's what's called a mitzvah rabba, for example, let's say to free his half-slave, half-free slave, so they can fulfill the mitzvah periyavra, then we permit someone else, his master, to violate the positive commandment of lo'il mem tavoidu, because it's for a great mitzvah, that of periyavra. Additionally, Tais differentiated that where the aveira of the person that you're trying to say was done because of his negligence, like in our Gemara, where he went and he put the bread into the oven negligently, that's where our Gemara says, we don't say that you should sin to save him from a great iser. But where the person was a situation of oinus, where it was not something that it was because of their negligence, like by the half-slave, half-free person, then you allowed to violate an iser so that you could merit him. Additionally, Taisa said that in the case of the maidservant that was half shivcha, half paschir, and that she wasn't really able to have any monogamous relationship with anyone, so she was mafka herself as nus to the men, that they could consider the other men anusin because she was causing it to happen, and therefore that's why the Gemara over there said that you're allowed to violate the Isra of freeing the maidservant so that she could get married. And additionally, Tay said it should also be qualified as a mitzvah the rabbim, where you're allowed to violate the Isra because of such a situation. Continuing next, Tay's the Maschal, Tay's begins with the words of the Gemara, Kaidim Shayovel the Isra Skil, before it comes to a prohibition that has a liability of a Mises Bezdin of Skil. Tay's comes to explain that because if the person will not take down the dough, because the rabbi said it's forbidden, actually, he's not going to be liable for skila. That is, the Gemara explained that, okay, so what's the case of Rav Bibi's doubt? Is it permitted for him to take down the dough before it comes to an issa skila? Because he actually had done it b'mezid. If the bread's going to be baked, he's going to be liable for issa skila. So Taisus says, if you're going to say, Taisus asks us to say, take a second look. My boy, Hizu, if that's the case of regarding his liability of an issa skila, what's the question? If we permit him to take down the dough, pshita shalish malano, obviously not going to listen to us. Im nesolei, we're going to say that it's forbidden for him because he obviously does not want to violate a biblical violation, which actually would make him liable for skila. So what would it help if we tell him that you're not allowed to take down the dough? He's not going to listen to us anyway. Better for him to violate a rabbinic law than have his violation of a biblical law. So actually, b'tirz Riva actually answers that no. Because if actually we do not permit him to take it down, he's actually not liable for skila. Because what's the reason why he's not taking it down? Is because we make it forbidden for him to do that. So essentially he's like an oinus. Because the reason why he's not taking it down is because the sages don't let him. So that's like an oinus, and therefore actually he's not going to be liable for skila if we actually said that it's forbidden. And so too says Tachim B'Psachim. Same idea we find in Masechet B'Psachim, say Perkei Isha, and the Tzadik Beis Amud Alf, where the Gemara there discusses many different cases that are rabbinical violation, rabbinical prohibitions. For example, Oral. It's talking about an Oral means to say a non-Jew that converted on Erev Pesach. They still hold that he cannot eat the Karban Pesach that night. The reason for that is because the sages made a decree because maybe he was Tamei before he converted. And if we're going to permit him to eat the Karban Pesach that night, even though biblically really there's no problem because he has no tumah because he was a non-Jew, there's a concern that maybe the next year when he's a regular bona fide Jew, he might become tummy Erev Pesach, and he's going to say, wait a second, last year when I was tummy right before I converted, I was tummy Erev Pesach, I was able to tevel and eat that night, so to this year I could tevel and eat that night. Now he's not going to know. The previous year was right before he converted and he didn't have the halachas of tumah. Therefore he was permitted, he didn't have to wait 7 days, he was permitted to eat the Karban Pesach that night. But now that he's Jewish, he cannot. So although this concern is only rabbinic decree not to eat a Karban Pesach, still the rabbis went and said, yes, you're not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach, even though biblically really you are supposed to eat the Karban Pesach. So to Hazah, something applies to spraying, which refers to a tummy mate, someone who came tummy from a contact with a dead person. He has to be sprayed on day 3 and day 7 of his days that he's waiting. If the 7th day falls out on Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach, So the rabbi said, we're not allowed to spray him to purify him because there's a rabbinic decree about spraying a person. So even though because of that, he's not going to eat the Karban Pesach that night. And so too v'izemel. So too the knife for circumcision. They didn't bring a knife from before Shabbos. You're not allowed to bring it on Shabbos, even in a rabbinic way of carrying through roofs and different courtyards, even though that prohibition is only rabbinic. And you have the chiv karas of mila that you have to circumcise. Still, hamidu devrein b'makom karas. The rabbis maintain their prohibitions, even in the situation of what you're not fulfilling now is actually a punishment of karas. But not regarding mila and pesach, those are both karas types of positive commandments. So, alma, you see, satayis from that gemara is because loy mechayev karas. Yes, because the person wouldn't listen to us. No, because he's not going to be liable for karas. Why? Since it's the rabbis that go ahead and they don't let you bring the Karban Pesach, so you consider einus, and therefore you will not be chayiv of karas. And that's the same idea we're saying here in our Gemara, that he actually will listen to us because you're not going to be chayiv if we say that you're not allowed to take down the dough. But now the Tesis explains that in general, how do we understand, which is the very maskal of our Tesis, how is it possible regarding someone who put dough into the oven to ever be chayiv skila? But you have to have what's called a hasra vada. You have to have a definitive warning to the person to be chayv amisis bezin, which skila is one of them. And therefore, Vim Taimir says, if you're going to say, ask to take a second look over here. Because vehecha also dechiv skila. How could you ever come to a liability of skila? Even if, let's say, he deliberately put the dough into the oven, but vaha hasra safik, who it's always going to be a doubtful warning. Why? Taisa explains. The b'shosha hidbik pas batana, when you put the dough into the oven, Shema ha yibedaita l'daisa, maybe his intention was to take it down from the oven, kaidim sheyev l'daisa skila, before it gets baked, and that he comes to the punishment of being stoned. And umashalei rada, and even if ultimately he doesn't take it down, shema shachach hasra, maybe he already forgot the warning, but maybe at the time when he was violating it, it was not a bona fide warning. Because when they warned him, they didn't know if he's for sure going to violate the iser. So how can you ever come to a chiv of skila? But Teretz Riva, the Riva answers because the kivin shehidbik toich kedei dibur shel esra, because ultimately, since he did put he attached the dough from within the few seconds when he was warned, ubevadi te'efa, and yes, most definitely, the dough will bake, im lo yirdena, if he doesn't do another action to take it down, lav esra safeku, that's not considered a doubtful warning. Could we most definitely could presume his intention was not to take it down before it gets baked. In other words, we don't say that, in other words, maybe he was going to do another action to nullify that the inevitable outcome shouldn't happen. No, we say that his intention was that he's putting the dough into the oven, that the outcome is going to happen. And most definitely, that's considered asura zvaydeh, and therefore he would be chayv achiv askila. Because as Taisa explains, what's considered a doubtful warning? That's elabalakeich im alabanim. That's only regarding the mitzvah of shiluach haken, which is supposed to send away the mother and then take the babies. Where no, he takes the babies when the mother is still there. Lamanda amma beperik of elohin aleikin, according to the one who holds in mesechtas makas of tezvav menalf bitlu v'loy bitlu. There's a machlekes there how to qualify regarding it's a lav hanitik last say where there's a negative prohibition that not to take it when the mother's still there, but you could rectify it by then ultimately sending the mother away. So in general, regarding every lav hanitik lase, there's discussion regarding the person not being liable for the lav. One opinion holds, bitli v'le bitli, as long as you didn't nullify the positive commandment, meaning that you shouldn't be able to ever fulfill the positive commandment, then you're going to be violating on the lav. Now, therefore, by Shiluach HaKein, if you take the mother while the children are there, where you could still fulfill the positive commandment by sending the mother away, so therefore you're never going to be liable on the negative prohibition until you either break the wings of the mother or you slaughter the mother, where then you can never fulfill the positive commandment of sending her away because you can't send her away anymore. Now, if they warned him at the time when he took the mother that he's violating this prohibition of Lesikach Em Alabanim, don't take the mother with the children, that is, as Tosafot explains, a case of Asra Safik. Why? Because the Shema lo yishbur kenefel. Maybe he's not going to break the wings. Or he's not going to slaughter the mother. So since there's still lacking an action that he needs to do to be liable on the negative prohibition, because it could still be ameliorated with the positive commandment, so therefore that's a doubtful Asra. We don't know if he's going to do the action to be mavatal, the ability of doing the mitzvah, to be liable for the negative prohibition. Because even if subsequently now he breaks the wings, so you can't warn him now when he's breaking the wings. You can only warn the person when he's doing the actual negative prohibition. The negative prohibition he already did. He could just ameliorate that by doing the positive commandment of sending away the mother. So either way, you're not able to give masra as vaday by the original action. Well, he might do the positive commandment. When he nullifies the positive amelioration, that you can't warn him there anymore. So you're never going to have to do asra as vaday. That's where we told masra asalik. V'chein tzotu says tais, another similar case would be b'shvur, regarding taking an oath. Shaloi oichel kikazu. A person swears, I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread. Im oichel zu, if I eat this other loaf of bread. Now, what he did was, ba'achli le'isuri. He first ate the loaf that he took a vow he's not going to eat, which is the prohibited one. Ba'achli le'tanoi. And then he ate the one that was the condition, which was that if he eats the other one, then this one's prohibited. Where Taisa explains, dikishamasun bay b'shas achilas. So when he ate the first dough, the first bread, which was the prohibited one, that they warn him, it's not a good warning. Adain mechusa ma'isa achilas shel tanai. You're still lacking an action of another eating, which was the conditioned bread. Kaidim sheischav malchus, before he could be liable for lashes. And when he warns him on the conditioned one, well, you can't warn him on that because it has to be on the prohibited one. That's where you're going to have a case of asura safik. Aval halacha, but over here explains Taisus, kishamad big pas batana, when you attach the dough to the oven, ein hafir mechuseras ma'isa. The baking is not lacking any action, and therefore that's not going to be considered asura safik. Then it's asura vaday. Unless you would put something to stop already was put into motion, that's not considered asura safik. That would be considered asura vaday. So Taisa explained that if the reason why the person's not taking on the bread is because the sages said he's not allowed, then actually he would listen to us, because actually he would not be chayav skila, because then he would be like an onus, and therefore if we tell him not to take it down, he actually will listen to us. Additionally, Taisus writes that the hasra on the one who's putting the dough into the oven is not considered hasra safik, and therefore our different maskal Taisus, which is going into Gemara, he could come to an isra of skila, because even though it's possible that could be when he put in the dough, his intention was to take it down, and only later did he forget about the warning. No, because since when he put the dough into the oven, he did not need another action for it to bake. So rather, the assumption is going to happen by itself. There we say that for sure his intention was not to take it down before the baking, and that's not considered asura safik. It's only a situation where you have to do an additional action, like the slaughtering of the mother, Meshluch HaKain, according to the one who holds bitli bitli, or when the person swore not to eat this loaf if he eats another loaf, and then he first eats the prohibited loaf, where he didn't yet do the actual maisa of eating the second loaf, that's where we say it's considered hasra safik, in contrast to the case of our Gemara over here. Continue the next Taisa, the Masa Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara, Masin La Behedya, which Taisa brings the Girsa that some explicitly teach this regarding the question of Rav Bibi. In other words, the Gemara concluded that the doubt of Rav Bibi is talking about where a person put the dough into the oven deliberately. And the doubt was, do we permit him to take it down before he comes to an Isra of Skila? Now, in our Gemaras, the text is that Rav Acha, the son of Rava, taught explicitly what's, as our different Maskel of Tais, Masla Behedya, which is that Rav Bibi Barabai said that they put, that if someone put the dough into the oven deliberately, they permitted him to take it down before it comes to Issa Skila. So based on the Argamar's text, from this price we see that not only is it clear what his quote, so to speak, question was, it wasn't even a question, it was actually said as a statement, that he said that, yeah, you're allowed to take it down before you come to Achiv of Skila. But Taisus brings that Isram the Gar, so that those who have the text in the Gemara, that it was Bayi Rav Bibi, that it explicitly writes that this was Rav Bibi's question, and it's explicitly said in this question of a Isra Skila. In other words, the Girsa that Taisa brings is not that of that he said a statement of resolution, but rather, but it's just clear that that was his question, which our whole Gemara was discussing what was his question, but the doubt is still there. It's just that it qualifies what his doubt was. It was regarding Isra Skila and not regarding Isra of Chatas. Continuing next, Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara, but v'habi'ina kirva nochemal mokum dalit. But you need to have the picking up and the putting down on the place that's Dal Tvachim, which Taisus comes to explain, where do you know this idea that the Gemara is assuming that you need to have Akira and Anacha on a Makam Dalad? Because the Gemara asks, why is it when the Ani puts his hand inside and he puts into the hand of the Balabais as Michaev, or if the Ani takes from the hand of the Balabais and takes it as Michaev, but in either case, you're not having either a Hanacha or Akira from a Makam Dalad. A person's hand is not 4 Tvachim squared. So Taisa brings the Amr Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that the reason why it's so obvious to the Gemara that you need to have anach and akir from a makom dalet is because the ein regilis la necha chevetz bepachas medalet. It's not normal for a person to put an object down in the area that's less than 4 tefachim. V'chein hoy mistam mishkan, and therefore we can presume that that's the way it was in the mishkan, and therefore we know that malachas are only as they were in the mishkan, and that's why the Gemara is presuming that it has to be a makom dalet for akir and anach. But another interpretation, Imri, he says, because Dal Yetzi Ishmim Kaime, the pasuk that says that a person should not leave his place. Mashma the koiname achefetz. It sounds like that mimkaime is also going on the object. Claim, in other words, mimkaime shel chefetz, from the place of the object. Because as the rebrings the Dershina be'irvin, the Gemara in Irvin on David Zayim Beis explains that although the pasuk says al yetze, which is going on the person, he shouldn't leave his place, which is like the laws of tchumen, but we read it al yetze, he should not take it out, which that teaches regarding the halachas of haitza. Now, so avgav the pasuk the krah koy amukaim shel adam. So although the simple translation of the pasuk, when it says mimkaim, it means from the place of the person, the hainu dalad amas, which is his dalad amas, become makom mashmanami makom achefetz. But also based on the midrashic interpretation, it's also going in the place of the object that you're not allowed to carry it, and the aim makom chashem b'parches midalad, and the place is not considered significant unless it has an area of 4 tefachim squared. And therefore, obviously, when the Torah is saying you're not allowed to take an object from its place, it's talking about a place of 4 tefachim squared. So Tosfos explained to us that the source that the Gemara had assumed that you need, and therefore it continues to ask that you need to have an kina nacha from a makom dalad, either from logic, because it's not normal to have an object in an area that's less than 4 tefachim squared, and therefore we could presume that's the way it was in the Mishkan, which is the source of all the malachas, or because the malach of itself is learned from the pasuk that says al yetzi ish mimkaimer, where we read it al yetzi ish mimkaimer, where based on this interpretation, mimkaimer is going on the place of the object, which therefore we could presume that that's 4 tefachim squared, and therefore that's teaching us regarding also the malacha of itself regarding the object that has to have a kirin anacha from a makam dal.